and for the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the day. Thank you for this day that you've granted us. Thank you for everything you do for us, the love that you show us, Lord, the lessons that you give us, and the guidance from those lessons. We pray that your word be spoken here today, Lord, not mine, but yours. We want to hear from you. We want to know your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy, it's one of three letters. And sometimes they'll call these letters epistles. It's basically the same thing as an epistle. And these three letters are often called the pastoral epistles. So they're addressing an individual and deal with more of a leadership problems. So you might think, if I never, ever plan on being a pastor, should I just skip this book in the Bible? Do I need to read it? Is there anything in there for me? Now, there's a couple reasons why we don't skip things in the Bible, right? Is the Bible whole is a whole, and we need to know what everything about it. We can't just pick and choose. But reason is that it's important to know how the leaders, especially the leaders who are in front of us, the leaders that we are following or they're leading us, how they should lead, you know, what they should be doing. It's important for us to know that, so we need to know if we should be following them or not, right? We need to have that. But also, never say never, right? God has a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan may not even be a blip on our radar when we're growing up. You know, when I was growing up, I would have never guessed I would be helping out with the youth. I mean, that'd be the furthest thing from my brain. I knew about God, but I didn't follow God. I didn't follow Jesus. We went to church, you know, now and then, you know, Christmas and Easter. It seems like that's what typically people do. But I would have never thought I'd be here. Now, I'm very blessed and happy that I am, but it wasn't in my plans. And then we could also look at somebody else. We could look at Paul, right? We could look at Paul, how he persecuted Christians. And, you know, when we first met him in the Bible, he persecuted Christians. Guaranteed, not in a million years, Paul would be thinking, well, I'm going to lead people to Jesus. I'm going to write more than one-third of the New Testament. That wouldn't even be in his thoughts. He was persecuting. He wanted Christianity to stop. We need to be willing to move forward when God calls on us. Now, even if you never get into a leadership role in church, everyone from time to time will be leaders. You know, maybe it's short durations, but we lead others in our actions, the way we talk, our decision making. You know, influencing friends, maybe it's a small project at school or a small project outside of school. Family members, meeting new people, we can all benefit on knowing how to lead, because we never know when, but it will be useful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Jesse, can you read that? So we're ambassadors to Christ. You know, ambassador, you know, ambassador goes to a foreign, usually it's a foreign country, right? And they're kind of showing people what that country is all about and being there for somebody, knowing that we're not all so bad, right? In this case, we're showing others God's love in his leadership and why they should follow him. So we'll be in our text, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 and 2. I'm sorry, it's not on there.
1 and 2?
Yeah, I wrote it wrong. It's not her fault, it's my fault. I could read it. There you go. Sandro, would you read that? So Paul, we start out, Paul calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? Simply meaning an apostle is sent from. So he's sent from Jesus. Right? That's what he's telling. It's quite of, you know, it gives you that Paul's authority that he was sent from, you know, God. Now, this isn't a request. It's a commandment. You know, Paul didn't just feel like, oh, well, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. No, he feels like he needs to do the right thing. He needs to be better. He needs to help others. That's how Paul felt. Next, Paul points that God is our true Savior. You know, nobody else but our true Savior. Funny fact is that most of the Caesars, so who's a Caesar? Not the Caesar salad, but who's a Caesar? Definition of Caesar.
The ruler of the Roman Empire.
Right. So the ruler of the Roman Empire. Now, most of them, if not all of them, were a little crazy, or a lot crazy. Most of them seen themselves as a deity or a god. In Nero, we probably have heard of Nero, maybe. Nero was the biggest nut in the bunch. However, there were those who fed into Nero's craziness. Some people were calling him Savior. You know, because Nero was the emperor at this time when Paul wrote this letter, this would explain why Paul points this out, that God is the true Savior. You know, so this does a couple of things. It shows when it was written, but it points to the more important fact that God is our Savior. There's a lot of fakes out there, but we need to focus on the true Savior. Now, Timothy, Paul mentions Timothy. This is who this letter is addressed to. Timothy travels with Paul for years, a lot of years. He was tutelaged. He was Paul's student. They had a really close bond. You know, they were thick and thin. They were just two peas in a pod, right? Chances are that Paul led Timothy to Jesus. You know, Timothy from a young age knew the scripture, but I'm sure Paul led him to Jesus. Paul even calls Timothy a true son in the faith. You know, Paul is feeling like a father to him, somebody who trained him, who taught him things, who cared about him. And now Paul is telling Timothy, I need you to go here and teach these people. Now, graduation, we've all had friends, right? We're all at that age where we already know people who have graduated, right, from high school. Graduation can seem like a sad moment. You know, it might feel like you're losing somebody who you care about. And for that friend, leaving the comfort, the protection, the routine of always being there, it can get a little scary, you know, going out into the unknown. Yet there's the other side to that same coin. You know, knowing that for that person graduating, it's the next chapter in life. You know, exciting time for them to take what they've learned and to grow into the person they're going to be. That's the side we need to focus on, is that it's a neat time, a time for somebody to stretch out and be who they are. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 3 through 4. Michelle? So Paul urges Timothy, this to stay in Ephesus for at least the second time. You know, this is at least second time. You can get this feeling that Timothy may have not wanted to stay for one reason or another. He may not have wanted to stay there, so Paul urges him to stay. We've all been there. I assume we've all been there. I've been there where we want to give up. You know, things aren't going our way, and we feel like we're unprepared, just feel like, this isn't worth it. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, instead of changing their own, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. We cannot never, no matter what, give up on our faith. We can't do that. You know, we know that God would never do that for us, and we can't do that to him. We cannot give up on our faith. Timothy may have been missing Paul, the comforts of Paul, and going, well, I'll let Paul handle this. I'll just sit back and watch. I need to watch a little bit more. He might have felt like he couldn't handle all the work that needed to be done. You know, may have been tired of people coming against him. Tired of telling people to do one thing this way, and they go do the opposite. Tired of them changing the doctrine. People telling fables or myths that are just silly distractions. You know, there are stories that aren't really, it's not the way it really happened, but people want to believe that. And they could get really crazy and outlandish. Then there's genealogies, you know. Well, my family does it this way. I always separate my food into quadrants. I can't let them touch. That's the way my family is, and that's the right way. Or my dad is better than your dad. You know, things that the gospel message that are not in there, you know, then they have no place being in there. Things that divide people. You know, they don't bring them together. They separate people, say, where they feel like there's an upper class and a lower class. And that's not the gospel message. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 5 through 7. Jesse?
some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm.
So Paul has 100% talked about showing others love. You know, we've seen it throughout the Bible, throughout his writings. So it's not as strange to see it here. However, this letter is written, he designed it to be read in front of a church, but it is addressed just to Timothy, right? It is addressed to Timothy. I think this could point to at least one of the reasons why Timothy might have needed encouragement, you know, to walk in love. Sometimes it's easier said than done. You know, he could have felt like he couldn't deal with how the people are. And it's hard to care for somebody when they keep making the same mistakes. Now, they say that there are no dumb questions. And I've said it, but I think ultimately it's not true. Because it's only human to be put off if somebody keeps asking the same question over and over and over and over. It's like they're not listening. And like I said, it's a human problem, because we could look at God and he has so much grace. He has unlimited grace. To God, it's no big deal. He'll forgive. And we need to look at that as the example of what to do. It can be difficult because there are those who want to be leaders but should not be leaders. You know, there's those who want to be leaders for all the wrong reasons. Typically, they like the feeling of power. Or they like people looking up to them. But they have no clue on what they're doing or how to properly lead. The law has always been one of those areas. And when I talk about the law, or when Paul talks about the law, he's talking about the law of Moses, the law that God gave the Israelites. It has all been an area where people get kind of lost, get confused, and they try to repeat what they've heard or what they feel, but they don't really understand what they're saying or the ramifications of what they're saying. So verses 8 through 11, and we could split this up. Or Michelle, why don't you read this?
Oh, so it says 8 through 11, right? Or no, not 8 through
11. Yeah, 8 through 11.
But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
All right.
What? Oh, goodness gracious, it's on the wrong
one. Yeah, that's the wrong one. That's right. So Paul has never said to anyone, yeah, don't follow the law. Don't follow rules. Because he just gives this list, this long list of people who definitely should be following certain rules, right? Especially the murderers. It'd be nice if they didn't, right? Paul points out, Paul's point is that the law never saves anyone. He points out, you know, what the law has always started out and what it began with, it was to point on what we're doing wrong, to let us know what we did wrong. Was to point out that we cannot be saved on our own works. That it's too hard to be saved on our own works. Points out that we need a Savior. It points us to Jesus. That's the purpose of the law. In Galatians, that Michelle was already trying to read, Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Sandro?
But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law kept forth the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, but after faith has come, we are no longer underage.
Now that's what it's saying. It's saying that, you know, we had the law and it was teaching us something, but once we have the faith, we're not underneath that tutor. This is where Paul would say, if you know Jesus, you're not under the law. Meaning that if we're following Jesus, if we're walking in love, if we're not listening to other doctrines, you know, that other silliness, the law has already done its job. It's done its job. It's shown us the one who can truly save us. And we're there now. We're following the one who can truly save us. In love, you know, it fulfills the law. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 14. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, in an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. In the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith in Lord which are in Christ Jesus. Now, have you ever read the end of the book before you read it? Have you ever found out that Darth Vader was Luke's father before you ever watched Star Wars? You know, it changes the perspective of the book or the movie. You know, I think we kind of get, it's not a clear picture of Paul that we have, because we know the end of the story. We know he's a good guy in the end. But at the very beginning, he was a very, very bad guy. One that is shows how much God's grace and mercy there is. Because if he's willing to save Paul, if they were willing to save how Paul was and use Paul, you know, God is willing to save anyone. He's able to save anyone and use anybody. You know, why Paul was saved is because he was no longer ignoring God. He stopped focusing on other things and focused on what God was telling him. That's how Paul was saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 through 17. Jesse?
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
So Paul's encouraging Timothy. He's telling him, if God saved me, he calls himself chief. You know, he's like, yeah, I was the worst ever. I was chief. I was head of the bunch. Right? If God saved me and helped me to honor and glorify him, how much more would Jesus help you? Because you're better than me. I was much worse than you. You're better than me. Jesus is going to help you so much more. If Jesus came into this world to save sinners, what that means is that Jesus loves sinners. And if Jesus loves them and wants the best for them, in turn, how can we say, no, I will not love you? You know, we need to do the same. Timothy might have felt young, right? He was kind of a younger guy. He might have felt alone, might have felt frustrated with the way people were acting and talking. However, we cannot let people change the way we walk. A good leader in everybody else needs to always walk in love. Not letting people stay in sin, because that's not love. You know, we need to pray for those people. We need to lead them out of their sin. Free them from that bondage. In Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 2, Sandro, can you read that?
Yeah. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling
aroma. Aroma.
I was not wrong, Paul.
You know, we need to use God as the, or Jesus, the ultimate example, right? And it might have been a sacrifice, and to some that they worry about that, but it's a sweet smelling aroma because he loved us so much. Michelle, can you pray and then we'll do communion? All right, so we set aside, or Jesse knows, Sandra, we set aside the first Sunday of the month, so this being the first Sunday of December, we do communion.